Good evening, everyone. Meeting will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Members, we have the minutes of April 28th before us. Representative Carlson moves approval of the minutes of April 28th. Any questions, corrections, additions, changes? Seeing none. All in favor of the approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. All right.
Chairman, you know, on the minutes, Representative Davids, Chair Davids, he has the same person every committee meeting move the minutes up.
Well,
and waits for that person to arrive. Isn't that correct, Representative Davids?
Well, Representative Davids.
Mr. Chairman, it's the only thing in my life I'm consistent about.
Well, we want to give everyone every opportunity to make motions. So, but thank you for stepping in, Representative Carlson.
Yeah.
Okay, members, we have four items before us tonight. A change in the budget resolution, House File 488, House File 621, and House File 390 in that order. And I guess I'll go with the budget resolution first. And that is the A30 amendment that's in your packet. I'll move the A30 amendment. And the A30 amendment really does two things. First of all, the numbers we got from the Department of Management and Budget when we had the increase in the agricultural finance budget the last meeting were slightly wrong. They actually wanted $19,000 more than what was on the sheet they gave us, and so this would simply add another $19,000 to the ag finance budget to conform with that. Secondly, I've mentioned before that there is a flood bill coming for the same flood incident that we dealt with the earlier flood bill this year on the floor, but these are all what I think are called Section 12B projects. The total flood bill, which is being carried by Representative Albright, who's not here tonight, is around $23 million, and what the A30 amendment proposes to do is add $21 million to the top line. Now, there's about $4 million that is unspent in the so-called other bills category, so this would increase it up to $25 million that would be available, and so it would accommodate the 23-point-some million for the flood bill as it is at the moment. And we would certainly be seeing that bill, obviously, before it went further. But I know that the bill is being looked at in public safety and then I think environment over the next few days, and so I'm proposing to change the target so that they can move those bills out of there and we've changed it so that we can consider it. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, there, as I understand it, by the same author, there were two bills dealing with floods introduced, one relatively early, House File 4 something, and then the one introduced yesterday. So for those of us that might want to track it, and of course we can track it based on what's posted, I guess, but is it the most recent introduction that we should look at?
You know, my understanding from talking to Representative Albright is that I think it's the earlier one that's moving, but the other one was introduced so that it could go to environment and save time and that we could have a hearing in both public safety and in the environment committee. So I guess I don't actually know for sure the author's intentions on it. The earlier one I'm told is the companion to the Senate language, so I would assume the earlier one is the one that would be moving.
And Mr. Chairman, I assume when you have this number then it's the 21 plus 2, I think, when we talked earlier, so about 23.
Right.
That must be what's in the bill or will be in the bill. Because my follow-up question to that is, and maybe I'm getting into the bill a little bit further than I should, but I'm just not totally sure how this is being put together, where the numbers are coming from, and are these requests by local units of governments and others? I know it impacts some 30-some counties, and I'm just curious, as you must have some background in that regard. Yes, Representative Carlson,
they are.
Budget resolution.
Yeah, it's about, the last number I saw was $23.3 million, and my understanding is that they are requests of local units of government.
So they'd be all public entities of one type or other, then I take it?
As far as I know.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Other discussion to the A30 amendment to the budget resolution? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the A30 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A30 amendment is adopted. All right, members, next we're going to go to House File 488, and I'm going to turn the gavel over to Representative Davids. Representative Davids, you've probably been looking forward to the chance to rule me out of order for years, and now you have it.
Chair Knobloch moves House File 488. Chair Knobloch, to your bill.
Yes, to be referred to the General Register.
Be referred to the General Register.
Okay. Members, House File 488 ratifies six labor agreements that primarily are coming to us now because they were subject to mediation and were thus not available to be ratified by the last legislature. The six labor agreements are four involving MNSU, the Minnesota State University Administrative and Service Faculty, Minnesota State College Faculty, the Interfaculty Organization, the MNSU Personnel Plan for Administrators, as well as the Minnesota Nurses Association and the Minnesota Law Enforcement Association, which I believe comprises the State Patrol, the BCA, and the Conservation Officers, those three groups. And members, a lot of you, because you're senior members, you understand the way these contracts work. These were mediated or negotiated, in this case, last fall. The Subcommittee on Employment Relations later last fall approved these. At that point, the compensation increases went into effect. These contracts run through June 30th, 2015, so we are actually closing in on the end date of the contract. And they are unusually late, but they are unusually late because of the fact that they were in mediation primarily last fall or were agreed upon after the legislature adjourned. And so this is the formal ratification of these contracts. And you know, I think that all the other contracts, there may be one other outstanding one still regarding PCAs, but otherwise, you know, all the other contracts that we normally think of, AFSCME, MAPE, the others, were previously ratified. And, you know, I believe that negotiations on the new contract for the 2 years starting July 1st will be in the process of beginning pretty soon. Members of the impact, since this is the Ways and Means Committee, the impact on this biennium of these contracts was estimated at about $80 million. The impact on the next biennium is about $125 million. It should be noted that at least for some of the university contracts like the IFO, they did go through some times, actually 3 years of 000 in their contract increases going back a few years ago before this contract and then the last year of the last contract when they received a raise. And so, members, with that, I think this is an item of business that we need to do, and I'd appreciate your support and stand for questions.
Questions for members? Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I, as one of the co-authors of the bill, would only chime in and say that it's important that we ratify these contracts and would encourage everybody's support.
Other questions for members? Representative or Chair Knobloch renews his motion that House File 488 be sent to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, members.
Mr. Chairman, while you were in the chair, I thought maybe you'd have a motion to put more money in the tax bill, but...
Right, nothing was said about monarch butterflies.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, the next bill we've got is House File 621, and I'm looking for Representative Torkelson. He's out in the hallway. Okay.
There he is.
Triumphant entrance.
That went so quick, I think maybe I should have left Chair Davids in the chair. Maybe the other bills would have gone that quickly, too.
I believe in Chair Davids.
All right. Well, next is House File 621. Chair Torkelson moves that House File 621 be referred to the General Register. And members, I guess before Chair Torkelson gets into his presentation, I should mention that this is a bill that had gone out to the General Register, had not come to Ways and Means. I asked Representative Torkelson to call it back here because while there actually isn't any appropriation in it, it does change language for some bonding appropriations. And so, in theory, if this language wasn't changed, these appropriations might possibly not be made. And so there was a potential fiscal impact to passing this bill, and that's why it's here today. So, Representative Torkelson, please present your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. You've already described why the bill is before us. This bill was passed out of the Capital Investment Committee and went to the floor. It is technical corrections, language items that were either mistakes or something has changed in the interim. So to enable these projects to move forward, these language changes need to be made. I'm not going to step through every detail of the bill, but I'd be happy to try and answer your questions if you have any, or we do, in some of these projects, we do have some folks in the audience who could help me if I need help. Or do you want me to step through every one of them,
no.
Mr.
No, that's okay. I think not seeing any immediate questions, why don't we go to amendments? We have the A6 amendment, and I think that's an amendment of Representative Torkelson. Do you want to offer that amendment, or
yes,
is there someone from Minneapolis?
A6, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kahn?
Okay. This.
Representative Kahn moves the A6 amendment for the Brian Quayle Community Center in Minneapolis.
This is a community center that is actually in the, I think it's going to have a lot more work as we're trying to put together some program to deal with the recruitment of young Somalis.
This Representative Kahn, could you put your mic down?
Okay. One of the problems is we're not ready for the full renovation of it. It's much too small for the number of people and the number of different kinds of athletic groups and so forth. So we also would like to be able to do some, and we don't have the full pre-design and design, so we'd like to be able to use some of the funds for renovation and expansion. And since we need to do it in a bonding bill, since it was in a bonding bill.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Representative Kahn on the A6 amendment? See no discussion. All in favor of the A6 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A6 amendment is adopted. We've got the A7 amendment, which is also a Minneapolis-Hennepin County amendment. Is there... someone that wants to offer the A7 amendment? Representative Torkelson with the A7 amendment. Representative Torkelson.
Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look at this also as a technical correction that I've been communicated with by the interested parties and believe it's all in order.
Discussion to the A7 amendment. See no discussion. All in favor of the A7 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A7 amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A5 amendment. Representative Murphy offers the A5 amendment. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. When I last spoke about this, Representative Torkelson said he thought he could help me in the technical corrections bill, but it seems to have a little more problem now because so much time has passed. This was intended to be in last year's bonding bill, and somehow the language was inadvertently left out. It has expanded a little bit from my understanding of what was supposed to be in last year's bonding bill, in the sense that Grand Marais and Knife River have been added to it, and that perhaps was the intent last year. That also got inadvertently left out, but I only knew at that time about the two harbors, part of it, the small craft harbor at two harbors, which comes about from the identification of the safe harbors that was done when Representative Battaglia was here and was the author of the amendment for the safe harbors all along the shore of Lake Superior. And so it's in the grand plan. There was money left over from the McQuaid Road safe harbor that is complete, and I shared with you how I like to stop there. That's one of the best spots as you leave Duluth and get up the shore a little bit, and if it's a beautiful day, to walk out and talk to the little kids or the old ladies and the old men that are fishing out there, or occasionally there's someone just reading their book, laying on the hard cement and reading their book and catching the rays. And it is a beautiful place. The Conservation Corps, the Civilian Conservation Corps, is responsible for the young people, you know, that we voted for today. But they did the landscaping around that area. And that parking lot is, on any beautiful sunny day or cloudy rainy day when some kind of fish must come out, that parking lot is full of people. And like I told you, occasionally I will be sitting there on the hard cement and talking to the people. Anyway, there's some money left over, was some money left over from that, and we thought that would go to help Two Harbors or Knife River or Grand Marais. And so much so that now I have somebody calling from Knife River at least once every 3 weeks saying, have you gotten that money? Determined to come for the Knife River Harbor because they heard about it from the DNR. The DNR said, we can help you if you get that remaining money that's left over from the McQuaid. And it should be done. And Two Harbors are waiting patiently to start their project. But now, between the time Representative Torkelson said he could help me, and today, as early as today, I understand Bill Marks got a call from MMB saying, no, it can't be done now. But DNR is here and could comment on their part in this and how they want this money to be able to go to McQuaid, from the McQuaid money to go to Knife River and to Two Harbors and possibly Grand Marais too. I don't know. But it isn't as easy as Representative Torkelson's and I thought it was. But we need that money and there's got to be a way. And if MNB could cooperate on telling us how to write it, I bet you'll help me. Well, just know it.
Did you want someone from DNR to come down and say something, Representative Murphy?
If they would help.
Well, if I don't know not, whether they come down or not, probably won't tell us. Someone's coming. I guess they want the help.
How could you resist that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kent Lockesmall, Director of Capital Investment for DNR.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Lockesmall.
Thank you. There was some money that was refunded by the Corps of Engineers to the department. It's $1.6 million plus. And what was proposed in last year's bill was to provide that to the department for work on other safe harbors. It was dollars that we used from a 2005 appropriation for safe harbor work. So we wanted to use the refund of those dollars for work at other safe harbors along the shore.
Okay.
But the intent is there.
Can someone, I don't know if there's anyone from MMB here, if Mr. Marks, can you inform us of the apparently legal issue that's involved here?
Mr. Chair, members, the issue is that the roughly $1.6 million received from the federal government was essentially reimbursing the state for what the state had bonded for. Under current law, that money should be going into the debt service fund and being used to pay the principal and interest on those bonds. That would result in a reduction of general fund spending for debt service, because the general fund pays those debt service payments. So had this all been dealt with in a budget forecast, general fund spending would be $1.6 million higher, and this money wouldn't be sitting around anywhere. As it is, it's currently sitting there, but under current law, it should have gone to the debt service fund and reduced the general fund transfer for debt service. So the issue is, there is a cost. There's a general fund cost to doing this. It's not free in the sense of the way we would measure it. So.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have to apologize to Representative Murphy, because I misunderstood the issue. I thought it was merely a technical correction, and it turns out it's not. I have nothing against your harbors or their beauty or the kids that go out there and read books on the cement. But there are some serious concerns about the flow of funds here, Mr. Chair, and I think until we have answered those concerns and have a clear understanding of where this money needs to flow through the process or through the various funds here at the state, and make sure that the right funds are credited and that we don't have any confusion about where these funds should be and how they should be handled or should have been handled, I don't think that we can move ahead with this amendment, and I would request that members vote no on the amendment.
Okay, other discussion to the A5 amendment? Representative Murphy, do you want to have a vote on the amendment, or do you want to...
I would like to continue working on the wording and maybe talk to MMB and see if we can't come to a better conclusion than what's been suggested by Representative Torkelson, and that we could work together to try to get it funded.
Are you withdrawing your amendment?
And so I don't want to vote at this time, but I appreciate your time and consideration, and I know you'll just love it when it happens.
Thanks.
Yeah. Representative Murphy withdraws the A5 amendment. All right, and I'm sure we'll have more discussion on that, especially in the Capital Investment Committee. I don't believe there's any other amendments to the House File 621. Discussion of House File 621 is amended. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I had one that was submitted.
You did? To
yes,
621?
Yes, A15.
Oh. I'm sorry. We'll go look for it. While we're trying to find the...
It's in this packet for the other bill.
Oh, okay.
For 390.
Oh, excuse me. I guess it's the next bill that...
all right. All right. You had me worried there, Representative Carlson.
Okay. Well, I was worried, too, for a moment, because I wanted to move my amendment, but I had the wrong number.
Yeah. All right. Okay, that's fine. Okay. I don't believe there are other amendments to this bill. Is there discussion to House File 621 as amended? Okay. Seeing no discussion, Chair Torkelson renews his motion that House File 621 as amended be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 621 as amended is referred to the General Register. Final bill on the calendar for tonight is House File 390. Representative Lincheski.
If I may, I have a question for Rep. Torkelson before he leaves.
Okay, well, he's staying because he's got House File 392. Okay. But go ahead, Representative Lincheski.
I just wanted to ask, not on the last bill, is there going to, I've kind of asked you this on the floor today, but I'm still not really clear. Is there going to be a bonding bill this year, or was that it?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know that currently there is no budget for a bonding bill. Until there is a budget for one, there will be no bonding bill. However, the items that we just sent to the floor do not require any money, and so in the event that we can do it in a forthright fashion and avoid problems with the other body, I would like to at least get the corrections done so that these projects can move forward.
Representative Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Torkelson. I just, you know, as I've stated to you, and I remain puzzled as to if the House is at this point planning for what we have, but there's an option for a change as how we would get those bills to have hearings in capital investment and get the chair, who I've invited, to come and view some of the projects some of us are interested in our district. So I think I have my answer for now, but I appreciate you allowing me to ask Chair Torkelson.
I should mention that if this was the bonding bill, the appropriate motion would be to send it to the Rules Committee because it would be considered a major finance bill that I think under the rules, having missed the deadline of last Friday, would have to go to the Rules Committee. Representative Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's a variety of ways, and I, you know, you and I have had conversations about this very issue, and you're pretty coy about it. But I do recall one time when Representative Krenke was chair of the Capital Investment Committee, and you were chair of this one where we wrote a bonding bill right on the House floor. Mm-hmm. And the other place that that could conceivably happen would be in a conference committee. And I told you, and I guess I'll say it here publicly, but I think that bill we just passed was the vehicle. I think we were out for a drive. As Representative Lincheski says, it probably should go to rules. It creates an interesting dilemma if you decide that you do want a bonding bill. And right now, that's really the only vehicle that's in committee here, or was until you signed the report. It's still in committee, I guess, that deals at all with the subject matter.
Well, so, that's Representative Carlson, that is why we sent it to the General Register as opposed to the Rules Committee, because it's not a bonding bill, and we're not planning on a bonding bill. But I do have to say, in regard to your statement about Representative Krenke and me having to present the bill on the floor for Representative Krenke, when Representative Torkelson became the bonding chair, I relayed that experience to him, and he assured me that that would not happen again.
Okay. I wasn't implying that, Mr. Chairman, that you were about to take the bill away from the current chair, but there were circumstances at the time that had to be addressed, I guess, from the standpoint of your caucus. But having said that, this appears that it's the only potential vehicle, whatever procedure you decide to follow. It probably should have gone to rules if it does become your vehicle, but that would be an issue that if you decided to write it on the House floor would be raised. It becomes a different question if you decide to write it in a conference committee report. And I can't totally predict what you're going to do. I just think you're going to have a bonding bill, and this is it.
Well, again, Representative Carlson, we're not sending it to rules because we're not planning on having a bonding bill.
Mr. Chairman, then I would say that you must be planning on writing it in conference committee.
Well, we're not planning on having a bonding bill. Representative Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think that bonding chair wants to say something
about
this.
Yeah, I think he does too.
But I, you know, I would hope then if it happens that it would get sent to rules from the floor. That certainly would be the procedure. But I just wanted to throw in that I remember Chair Krinke, and I don't know if Chair Davids can remember this. I think he didn't vote for his own tax bill, too, when he was tax chair. So he didn't vote for his bonding bill when he was the bonding chair, and he didn't vote for his tax bill when he was the tax chair. So we kind of miss him. He always had some interesting things to do. But anyway, thank you, Mr.
Chair Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you all know that I'm a farmer by trade, and I have a number of vehicles. I have an 18-wheeler. I have another shorter semi. I have a dually pickup. I've got a couple of motorcycles. And a car, too. So, in reality, there is another bill that is sitting here in this committee that is a bill with zeros in it, but it's here in this committee. And there's a third bill. I've developed a very bad habit this session. I've been picking up the governor's bills and carrying them. And the governor's bonding bill was dropped in the hopper by me, and it now resides in the Capital Investment Committee.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I had the same conversation with Chair Torkelson that I had with you at breakfast one morning, and I think what he just said convinces me there will be a bonding bill, I guess, yet to be determined what the vehicle is then.
Ah, but not necessarily House File 621, huh?
Right. Well, I'm still betting on this is probably the one that we'll have to see.
All right.
I'm not a gambling person, I guess, so I won't put any money on it.
All right. All right. Well, members, let's get to the last bill of the evening. Representative Torkelson moves that House File 390 be referred to the General Register. members, this is not a bill that is on the list of major finance or appropriation bills, so I think it's the appropriate motion to send it to the General Register. We've got a number of amendments, and I guess I don't know, Representative Torkelson, do you want to go through and describe House File 390 first and present the bill, or do you want to take the amendments? How do you want to do it?
Well, I would be happy to take your advice, Mr. Chair. I don't know if all these materials were distributed. All the members have information about the bill, including the pie chart, description of the general areas in the bill, and a map of where funds have been invested. I do not feel a need to walk through the bill, Mr. Chair, but if you want me to, I'd be happy to. I think most of the members here are familiar with the LCCMR process and what we do. Of course, these funds are generated by scratch-off lottery tickets.
Well, why don't we have you give us a a brief overview of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd turn to, there's a summary of appropriations on the long sheet of your handout. And the appropriations by subdivision. Subdivision 3, foundational natural resource data information, $12,932,000 in 18 different appropriations. Subdivision 4, water resources, $3,065,000 in 9 appropriations. Subdivision 5, environmental education, $1,004,000 in 5 appropriations. Subdivision 6, aquatic and terrestrial invasive species, $6,071,000 in 4 appropriations. Subdivision 7, air quality, climate change, and renewable energy, $2,268,000 in 3 different appropriations. Subdivision 8, methods to protect, restore, enhance land, water, and habitat, $5,646,000 in 11 different appropriations. Subdivision 9, land acquisition for habitat and recreation, $14,190,000 in 11 different appropriations. Subdivision 10, administration and contract agreement reimbursement, $1,207,000 in 2 appropriations.
All right, any questions on the presentation? Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Chairman, I spent a number of years on LCCMR, and I know the very extensive work they put into their recommendations, and I guess the question I have is probably a relatively quick one. Is there anything in the bill as it's presented tonight that was not a part of the LCCMR recommendations?
Chair Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Carlson, there are some items that have been removed from the bill, and there is a language change dealing with the LCC. And we will deal with those issues in, I believe they're all addressed in some of the amendments that are coming forward tonight.
So,
no, Representative Carlson.
Chairman, so other than the LCC employment issue, everything that's in the bill currently, then, did I understand you correctly, are recommendations from LCCMR? You said you dropped, somebody somewhere in the process dropped some that were recommended. But
Chair Torkelson.
My memory serves me correctly, that's correct, but I would phone a friend at this point just to double check.
Hi, welcome to the committee. Can you state your name for the record and give us your testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. Susan Thornton, the director of the LCCMR. In and I was looking for that sheet of paper amongst everything. There was a deletion of $1 million for an energy study that then was added to conservation assistance at Bowser. So that totaled approximately, that new appropriation, approximately $2 million. There was an urban water quality and study of turtles that was deleted and moved to additional funding for the County Biologic Survey. And there was, looking for my amendment, sorry. There was an appropriation of $132,000 that was deleted for the promotion of alternative ammunition to protect wildlife from lead poisoning, looking at workshops and so forth with copper bullets, that was deleted. And in its place was $132,000 to DNR that would have that would go for trap shooting sports facilities. And there was a change in the there's a tree planting project that the Pollution Control Agency had proposed, that the change was to put that to the Department of Natural Resources. And I believe I covered most of the project changes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, you've covered it nicely, and my apology, Representative Carlson, I had misplaced my list. So the only really new thing in there is the trap shooting language, where the lead ammo project was eliminated and those funds went to the trap shooting project. Otherwise, the funds that changed actually were added to projects that were already on the list.
Representative Carlson
asks, so then all the others are enhancing the other projects to a higher number, and that's the only new one?
That's correct.
Other than the other issue that deals with employment that you alluded to earlier.
Right, and then the last issue that Ms. Thornton made mention too, that's the project didn't change, we just changed the jurisdiction from MPCA to DNR because we thought DNR knew a little more about trees than MPCA does.
Okay. Any other questions on the presentation? All right. Thank you, Ms. Thornton. All right, members, we've got several amendments. Let's start with the A21 amendment, which I believe is an author's amendment. Representative Torkelson moves the A21 amendment. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now that I've got my papers all mixed up, I'm searching diligently for the A21. The A21 amendment is some language changes that came from the DNR. DNR, in coalition with Bowser, has established what's called an easement stewardship account, where monies will be deposited to help them properly maintain and monitor easements, and this language puts money from the LCCMR that this applies to easement projects, takes a portion of those funds and puts them into the easement stewardship account.
Okay, discussion to the 821 amendment. Representative Wagenius.
Well, you gave the beginning of it. You didn't do the pollinator part.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative Torkelson. Representative.
Thank you. Then there's also a change in subdivision 19, pollinator and butterfly habitat. And that's it.
Representative Wiginius.
Well, I just want to chat about the pollinator and butterfly habitat. We already have in statute a pollinator habitat program, which it has stronger and clearer language than this. It's in 84.973, which requires the commissioner to do the best management practices and habit restoration guidelines for pollinator habitat enhancement. That's already current law. So I think this weakens that, and I find that unfortunate. But the other piece of this is you are talking about minimizing use of pesticides and getting rid of the language in the bill. And here's the problem. The minimizing the use of pesticides is good language. And pesticides are used in habitat restoration. Obviously, you're going to use some Roundup to kill out the you're restoring a whole place, you're probably going to have to clean the land and put on Roundup, or if you're just doing spot. But Roundup does not kill native pollinators. I mean, that's not... But there are pesticides that do go after native pollinators. And so one of the things, since I know this committee is hot on sound science, I brought some sound science. This is a brand new article from Nature, which is a preeminent review. Which obviously you know about, and
excuse me, Representative Wiginius, can you talk into the mic a little bit more, Representative Wiginius?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Basically, there the kinds of insecticides that are pollinator lethal would be systemic ones, and the way this language is, it is permitting systemic pesticides that are really heavy duty hard on native pollinators, native bees. And that's what this will say. I didn't print out the whole thing that was in Nature. It's 17 pages long. But you can certainly see that using the pollinator, using neonicotinoids, and I'm assuming it's just one subset of the systemics, pose a substantial risk to wild bees. And since that population is likely dropping in Minnesota as it is, putting them at further risk doesn't make sense to me, particularly when our habitat lands should be safe harbors. So I oppose this amendment strenuously, because of the change in the pollinator language.
Representative Torkelson, would you
like
to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you for those remarks. President Wiginius, this particular study is brand new to me. I only saw it on the floor this afternoon, and I was a little busy, so I didn't really have time to read it. You know as well as I do that there are concerns about neonicotinoids, but those are only one of the issues that are of concern when it comes to both native pollinators and our honeybees. We are addressing these issues in many ways, but to single out this one particular issue, I don't think is appropriate. I believe the language that is being proposed is actually a little broader, a little more reasonable, shall we say, and less focused on just a single issue, and I would recommend passage of the amendment.
Representative Wiginius.
Well, let me just respond that this does not apply to agriculture lands or any land. The only lands this applies to are lands that we purchase with public dollars. and these specific public dollars, since this is a rider on this bill. So it's a pretty small group of lands. However, these lands should be, particularly since some of them are scientific and natural areas, should be safe harbors for our native bees and other pollinators. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why we would not want some safe harbors. So I still oppose the language.
All right. Any other discussion to the A21 amendment? See none. All in favor of the A21 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. The A21 amendment is adopted. Okay, members, next I'm going to go to the A23 amendment. Members, I'll offer the A23 amendment. And that is really, it's just adding a little bit more language about the project report on a particular project you'll find on page 17. As I'm reading the bill and looking at this project on page 17, line 4, talking about building deconstruction to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and solid waste, I almost wonder if this isn't more of a project that should have been in the Jobs and Economic Development bill as opposed to the LCMR bill. But it's here, and then I understand the argument for why it should be here, but I guess I think if we're going to do this, we should get a little bit more information on what happened out of it and get a report for the project. Members, I guess I'd appreciate your support on the A23 amendment. Representative Wagenius.
I don't have the before us, and I don't know if you have before us, the work plan for this, but in the work plans for all LCCMR projects, there are outcomes and they're very specific. Did you check that particularly?
Representative Wagenius, I did not look through the particular work plan, though. But I guess if it's that detailed and if we do the project, I'm not moving to delete the project. I'm just saying that we want to make sure the final project report has this information in it. See no further discussion. All in favor of the A23 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A23 amendment is adopted. Okay, members, next let's go to the A16 amendment. Representative Wagenius moves the A16 amendment. Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate for me to ask if the A17 was done first as Representative Hornstein's, and if this was passed, then mine would be moved?
Oh, I'd be happy to change that. Sure. Representative Hornstein, would you like to move the A17 amendment?
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Chair. This is an opportunity to move our meeting along, so I hope that everyone will support the A17. Members, what we're trying to do, or what I'm trying to do here is make sure that we can honor the process that the LCCMR went through. As you know, it's a pretty exhaustive process, and Representative Hansen referred to this earlier on the floor with the bill we did today, kind of sticking to what the legislature prescribed for these groups that we've appointed to get their work done. And so a number of things when this bill was first presented were taken out, so the amendment simply restores those. So I'll very quickly go through what those are. There was a biological survey project was in the original LCCMR recommendation bill. We also are reinstating $1 million to the LEC for an analysis of energy systems, of future energy strategies to maximize efficiency and clean energy. And that money was redirected to some soil and water conservation districts. But in our original recommendation, we had that million for clean energy. There was $250,000 to St. Thomas for a study of turtle population dynamics in Medicine Lake. And this project gave students hands-on experience in research and data analysis and design to show how ecosystems and natural resources are working. And that money was redirected to a survey, biological survey project. There was $132,000 originally for the U of M Raptor Center. That had to do with alternative ammunition to protect wildlife from lead poisoning. We also are reinstating that, this was referred to earlier, project funding back to the MPCA from the DNR to improve community forests through citizen engagement. That was given to the DNR, but the committee had recommended the MPCA. And then we also have some issues around staffing for LCCMR. That was given to the LCC in this in the bill, and we want to get that authority back to the LCCMR. So basically, Mr. Chair, this is just simply to revert back to the original process, the process that we have prescribed, you know, these are all good projects and I think deserve our support.
Chair Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. As I think everyone knows, the committee work is a recommendation. It's not the final legislation. And the legislature has the authority to make changes in LCCMR recommendations. These changes, you know, compared to the number of projects and the amount of money being spent are, in my mind, fairly minor. If you know a little bit about the history of LCCMR, you know that many changes have been made over the years as the projects come forward. Through the legislative process. It's not the first time, certainly, that changes have been made to the LCCMR bill. I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you want to go through each one of these individually or not. I would suggest not. Members, I would suggest a red vote on the amendment.
Well, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question about this for you or for Chair Torkelson. Looking at the bill and one of the parts that Representative Hornstein wants to amend, the trap shooting grants. I seem to remember that we passed a bill already this year that gave grants for trap shooting facilities or did some funding of those facilities. I want to say that it was like the lands bill. Well, that wouldn't be right. I don't think it would be in the lands bill. But I wonder if anybody can remind me, because I feel like we already did something in this area that got passed off the floor this year. Does anyone recall that?
You know, I actually don't recall it, but perhaps Representative Hackbarth does.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we did have a portion in the Representative McNamara's Environment Finance.
Okay.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hackbarth, do you recall what we did there, how much it was?
I don't Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Liebling, I don't remember the exact totals on that, but it's connected with some federal money as well. That's why we did that in Environmental Finance.
Okay. Well,
Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Hackbarth. You know, it isn't that, you know, that's fine. I'm not complaining about where it was funded, but I'm just thinking that, you know, here the some changes being made to what the original recommendation was for something that we've apparently funded elsewhere. And I just think, I guess, in support of Representative Hornstein's amendment, I just don't know why we're continually adding, especially since we sitting here don't even know. And maybe I could ask Chair Torkelson, when your committee made this change, whether you were aware that there was other money going to this same project, or not project, but the same area of interest, I guess, the trap shooting facilities.
Chair Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of course, at the time I was not aware, but I am aware that trap shooting is the fastest growing sport among our school children. There's certainly more demand for new facilities than we have funds to build them, and it's been great to see these kids get out and participate and learn in the process, learn gun safety and sharpen their motor skills and be outside doing things rather than sitting in front of a computer screen and playing what I think of as less realistic and perhaps more violent activities.
Representative Liebling.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, I'm not going to get in an argument with you about that. You know, that may very well be true, but it's just a matter of how much are we going to designate for that this year. And as we all know, resources are limited, and I guess it would be good to know just how much is going there as we try to make a decision here whether to support the Hornstein Amendment. And you know, it may be that the demand is outstripping the money available and all of that, but we could say that about lots and lots of things in our state. And without being able to even know how much we've already allocated this year, I think, you know, I don't know why we would allocate yet more. It'd be great if, I mean, I know it's not uncommon for things, little pots of things to be in different bills, but I think it would be good for us to understand at least how much and what the exact, what the actual need is.
Yeah, Representative Dean, then Hackbarth. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and a question for Representative Hornstein. In your amendment, you refer to the project regarding turtles to analyze the aquatic and terrestrial habits of parameters that affect the use of urban lakes by a three-species turtle community. Could you identify the turtle community that you're referring to and what the species are and how they're linked together as a community?
That's an excellent question, Representative. That's the modus operandus, aquatic, I'm joking. I got a couple people on that. If there are some experts, maybe there are some experts in the room, I can't identify those. Well, but the point here, Representative Dean and Mr. Chair, is that we want to go by the original recommendations that those that have expertise in this area have decided are the priorities. So rather than changing around, you know, the recommendations. So I don't claim to have that. I think the last biology class I took was in college, and it was an intro class, so we didn't identify those species.
All right, Representative Hornstein. I was just curious about that. And a few years ago in a bonding project, we had somebody propose, I don't know if it was a tunnel or if it was actually a suspended pedestrian turtle bridge. I suppose they're all pedestrians because they don't have turtle cars. But there was...
Well, they swim also.
We were proposing to build a structure of some sort for turtles in their attempt to cross a street. And I'm wondering if that might fall under terrestrial habitat parameters. I just want to make sure that this is a bonding bill. We're not going to build a turtle bridge or tunnel.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hornstein.
No, we had in the Environment Committee, I believe there was a researcher from Augsburg, if I'm not mistaken, that had testified on this. And, you know, what I thought was very impressive is that she had really involved the students in some very solid data gathering field work. And so I thought this was really important because it wasn't just the research, which I think is very helpful, but I think this engagement of these young people and undergrads was really helpful. So it's a good project, and that's why the LCCMR recommended it.
But Representative Hornstein, I'm now satisfied that it's not the same project, so I appreciate the clarification.
Thank you.
Representative. Okay. Representative Hackbarth.
Well, thank you.
Back to the shooting sports.
Representative Liebling, and I think Representative McNamara can correct me if I'm wrong, after you were discussing this and I was thinking about how this all went down, I had a bill for trap shooting. It was $5 million was the request. In 2013, Representative Dill had a bill that he passed, and he put $2 million into this program. So I came with a bill for funding that same program again, only asking for $5 million. I think Representative McNamara gave me $3 million in the bill to move forward. So I think that's where we're at, $3 million for the trap shooting. But this was my amendment in the Environment Finance Committee when we listened to the LCCMR bill to make this motion to take this out and move that money to the community support.
Okay, to that point, Representative Liebling.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chair, and so $3 million is going in another bill, and here's this $132,000 that is also being taken from what seems like a really worthy project, and one more important, perhaps more importantly, that was recommended by the committee. And then and taking it. I don't really see what is the need then to take another $132,000 when you got $3 million. It just seems pretty unnecessary.
Representative Ackbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Liebling, the request was for $5 million. We've got $3 million. The sport is growing by leaps and bounds. The grants go out through the DNR for these different shooting facilities. The need is great. So that's why we did it. I don't know what more to say about it, Mr. Chairman.
I've got Representative McNamara and Mahoney. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Hackbart said most of what I wanted to say. The only thing I would add is just had recent discussions with DNR, and the last grant that they did under the previous bill that Representative Hackbart talked about, Representative Dill's bill, was a grant to the Bemidji Area Sports Club, I believe, for $440,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, Mr. Chair. It was north of $400,000. This sport is growing so fast, the high school kids don't have a place to shoot, and this is to help them out. The demand is great, and that's why it's in two spots. And I will note, I think Representative Hackbart mentioned it, but it is one of those things that gets partial reimbursement by Pittman Robinson money, so they're is generally a match back to the state of Minnesota after the fact.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe a bit of a correction here. One of the fastest growing sports in Minnesota is actually robotics, and it outstrips hockey and all the others. And just so they actually do it to the school district's budget and don't bother to come to the state for any money. So. And it's not a violent sport, although they do once in a while go after each other's robots. But
I've seen that Robot Wars program. It looks really violent to me.
that might be the case, but these high school kids have chaperones there, and they're not allowed to be too violent. They just have to use basketballs and other things. So all the people that think that one sport is growing faster than another, you should do a little bit more research before you get too deep into it.
Representative Carlson.
Well, my research, Mr. Chairman, says that lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in Minnesota. But and on a serious note with that, I read an article a while back where in Canada, more young people are playing lacrosse than hockey these days, if you can imagine that. And it's growing by leaps and bounds seriously in Minnesota. Virtually every school district is starting lacrosse. But we could probably have quite a debate as to what the fastest growing sport is. And today I just went on a bill to build more hockey rinks. So it's still, that continues to grow. That's right. That was the Mighty Ducks bill that was introduced, I think, yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Representative Liebling and Hornstein.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, when I'm looking at this language that Representative Hornstein has and thinking about this fast-growing sport of trap shooting, you know, maybe we could combine these things. Because here you're teaching these students trap shooting, and what this language, that Representative Hornstein's language, is about teaching, providing hunters with outreach on alternatives to lead hunting ammunition. And promote voluntary selection of non-toxic ammunition to promote eagles and other wildlife. So it seems to me that if you're creating a new, generation of hunters and people that know, trap shooters, then maybe it would be a good time to educate the students about how to keep some wildlife around so that maybe when their kids are growing up, they'll still have some wildlife and something to hunt.
Any other discussion? I'm sorry, Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, members, as we wrap up and move on, I just wanted to make one point in response to Representative Torkelson's contention that this is standard practice. We do this all the time. And it's my recollection that in the last biennium, I think we made one change. And I think there were a lot more in 2011, even more than this. But you know, we can do this, and my understanding, again, is that one change was agreed to bipartisanly. And so, you know, this is how we should do things. And unfortunately, we're not in this bill. So so that's hence the amendment, and I'd ask for your support.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A-17 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. The A-17 amendment is not adopted. Do you want, there were a number of things in the A-17 amendment. Do you want to, Representative Wagenius, do you want to offer the A-16 amendment like we had talked about earlier then?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
In this case, Mr. Chair,
since Representative Wagenius moves the A-16 amendment. Yeah, Representative Wagenius, please use your microphone. You have a soft voice.
I have a soft voice. Okay. This is money. $1 million that was to go to the Legislative Energy Commission, and it was for data and analysis, and specifically with an outcome of developing strategies to maximize energy efficiency, something that is, as far as I can tell, totally bipartisan. And the use of clean energy, which I hear Representative Garofalo talking about all the time. So given that this is pretty straightforward, and just so folks would know what's in the work plan, and that that is what is being asked for, I had a
maybe
copies of the work plan made.
I don't know.
Now, one of the things that
I read an article,
if you know LCCMR, and
okay, go ahead, Representative Wagenius.
If there's something the committee would like to change about the outcome that you just did in one of the in your amendment. If we needed to change an outcome specifically, I think that's an appropriate thing. But to not fund it is, I think it's very inappropriate. And it's, for that reason, I would like a roll call on this one.
Okay, Representative Wagenius requests a roll call vote on the A-16 amendment. Representative, there will be a roll call vote. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that Representative Garofalo might have some information on this area, which he has some expertise.
Representative Garofalo, do you want to comment on this area?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if the legislature in its infinite wisdom decides to appropriate this $1 million to the LEC, we're not going to spend it. So it's your decision on what you want to do, but I would recommend a no vote.
Other discussion to the A-16 amendment. Representative Wagenius.
Okay. I think let's just review what this money is for. It's for the data and analysis so that we can make good decisions about maximizing energy efficiency and clean energy. That's what this money is for. And so, folks, I would recommend highly a vote for the amendment.
And Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just add that this was one of the more controversial projects when it came before LCCMR, and I don't recall the exact vote or discussion, but I know that there were fairly strong opinions on both sides of the issue.
And Representative Torkelson, where does this $1 million come from then? What program would get less money if we passed the amendment?
The $1 million was transferred to SWCDs in an existing appropriation.
Okay. Representative Wagenius.
While we had discussions and there was back and forth about a lot of the things that go in LCCMR, because there are a lot of conversations, and that's the good thing about LCCMR, the Citizens Advisory Board, because there's a lot of back and forth in order to come to a consensus. In the end, this was a consensus. So, yes, there was a lot of back and forth. In the end, it was a consensus. Again, I would recommend a yes vote.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Knobloch?
No.
All right. Anderson? Carlson?
Yes.
Cornish?
No.
Davids?
No.
Dean?
No.
Detmer?
No.
Breskowski? Garoppolo?
No.
Gunther?
No.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hillstrom? Hornstein?
Yes.
Kahn?
Yes.
Franceschi?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Loon?
No.
Mahoney?
Aye.
McNamara?
No.
Murphy?
Yes.
Nornis? Pulowski? Poppy? Torkelson?
No.
Erdahl? Wagenius?
Yes.
There being 8 ayes and 13 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A16 amendment is not adopted. We have the A15 amendment before us. Representative Carlson moves the A15 amendment. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I apologized earlier for interrupting you. I had brought in a copy of my own amendment, and I put it in the wrong pile.
Oh, no, that's
so
okay.
So I was beginning to move it on the wrong bill, but we did have a fellow one time that presented his bill before the entire House. He had two of them on general orders, presented the wrong one, and we all passed it. And he owned up when a second bill came up and explained that the entire House had passed the wrong bill, so we reconsidered it. So, anyway, this was a strike, strike a paragraph, so that couldn't have happened here anyway. But, Mr. Chairman, what I'm doing is removing the section of the bill that deals with administrative authority. And by way of background, this issue surfaced a couple of years ago. It was very controversial at the time because the history of the LCCMR or the LCMR, if we look at it before the word citizen was added, has had a longstanding situation where they hire the staff. They hire the director and in the end the additional staff, and I think I should remind folks that it's a very small number of people that work in the office for LCCMR. The current system, and I served a number of years under two different administrations with LCCMR, and to the person, I think I can say that the staff that served the LCCMR Commission was just did an outstanding job. And I don't really see any reason for change. And when this surfaced, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago when it first surfaced, it was rejected in a very bipartisan way, if I recall. Senator Senchum from the Senate side led the charge in rejecting the change. So what my amendment would do would strike that section, and we would revert as a result of that to the current system where we would continue to allow LCCMR to hire the staff. As I point out, the appointments have been very good, outstanding in my view. And this wasn't anything that came from LCCMR. This was a new addition when I was going through the committee process. I'm also concerned about some of the language here where it talks about consultants necessary for the support functions, and I'm not sure exactly what the goal there is. There were times when consultants were hired to give expertise, scientific input in many instances when we were dealing with specific requests, but this almost sounds like we would have consultants perhaps replacing the permanent staff. Now maybe there's a different take on that in terms of what that means, but at any rate the overall thrust of the amendment would be to put the hiring under the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and I don't think that's a necessary change. So I would hope that the committee remembers that history and the point that it was controversial, it was rejected in a bipartisan way, and I think we would needlessly be interjecting in that controversy into the bill if this remains. So I would hope the committee supports the A15.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just want to speak in opposition to the amendment. I think the proposal in the bill currently is the right thing to do. Folks have applied to be on Lessard SAMs or LCCMR, serve on that because they have an interest in the outdoors and the environment. Maybe you're active in one of the conservation groups, and so you want to weigh in and speak about the great parts of Minnesota and the things you want to advocate for. Not one of the requirements is to be skilled in HR or in the hiring process. And I think it really was in committee, Representative Fisher spoke to this issue, I think the best, when he said, well, you know, we just went through this with the Legislative Water Commission. He said that was a good process. We should do it like that, and that's what this proposal is. And so I think there is bipartisan support for this effort. It's the right thing to do, and I would hope folks wouldn't be opposed to the amendment. I just don't think folks that serve on these commissions are serving on them for reasons other than to be personnel.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would agree with Representative McNamara. He pointed out the Legislative Water Commission hiring process that went quite well, and there was an opportunity for the members of the council to have some input, but the nuts and bolts work of processing applications was done by the LCC. You know, hiring and firing these days has gotten to be a fairly particular process. There are questions you should ask, questions you shouldn't ask or can't ask. And when we put citizens in a position where they are part of this process, I think it puts them at a certain amount of risk and also puts our institution at a certain amount of risk. Handling this through the LCC certainly is the best and safest thing to do, and that's why we brought this change forward.
Other discussion. Representative Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, like I say, the LCCMR has had a long history of making good hires, and it has worked quite well in terms of understanding what you may or may not ask in an interview process. There is a good understanding there as well. I understand that the sensitivity of that. I've chaired our caucus personnel committee probably going back 25, 30 years, I think. Also, we had a personnel committee of rules. And I know how important that is, but the LCCMR has had a good understanding of that when they've gone through the hiring process. And there haven't been any issues, there haven't been any problems, and they've done an excellent job in the end selecting good staff people. And I just don't think that there's a good sound reason for the change. And like I say, it did become very controversial last time. I suspect it could conceivably become controversial again, and I don't think we need to do that at this point with this particular bill. Okay. So I would encourage people to support the amendment.
We'll try to take care of the technical difficulties. Any other discussion to the A15 amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the A15 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. The A15 amendment is not adopted. Members, there is an A22 amendment, but I was told that the person who had drafted it did not want to offer it. So I don't know of any other amendments unless someone has something. Is there other discussion to House File 390 as amended?
No.
I don't have anything.
All right. All in favor of House File 390 being referred to the House File 390 as amended, being referred to the General Register, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 390, yeah, as amended, is referred to the General Register.
Members, we probably won't have a meeting on Monday morning. I'm sure that disappoints some. Sorry for anyone that came in this last Monday morning. I made an announcement on the floor, but I found out later that not everyone heard it, and I'm sorry that we didn't send out a notice on it. But we're probably not having one this Monday morning, although I would guess we'll have another one for something probably early next week. I think there's a couple of other bills still out there. But anyway, any other business? Representative Hornstein.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just felt like I wanted to answer Representative Dean's question directly and straightforwardly. So some examples of turtle species that might be found in Medicine Lake are the painted turtle, the snapping turtle, the smooth soft-shell turtle, the spiny soft-shell turtle, and the wood turtle. So these are all possible species you may find there.
What's it delicious?
What?
Well, on that note, the meeting is adjourned.